Will please come to order. We do have a quorum. Just as soon as we get a chief clerk. Well, here she is. Messages from the House or standing committee reports, either one. Then I'll do some signing of the enrolled acts.
March 6, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 3, to whom is referred House Bill 156, State Songs, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senator Skinsky, Peterson, Wasserberger. No, Senator Ellis. Senator Case excused. Senator Peterson, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 3, to whom is referred House Bill 170, engrossed, Wyoming Children's Trust Fund Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Ellis, Kinsky, Peterson, and Wasserberger. Excused, Senator Case. Senator Peterson, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 10, to whom was referred House Bill 163, engrossed, Physician Non-Compete Clause, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
Okay, House Enrolled Act number 6. Reading clerk, read it.
House Enrolled Act number 6, being original House Bill 3, an act relating to county fees.
House Enrolled Act number 6 being original House Bill 3. I'm about to sign it. I have so signed House Enrolled Act number 7.
House Enrolled Act number 7 being original House Bill 4, an act relating to public funds.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 7 being original House Bill 4. I have so signed House Enrolled Act number 8.
House Enrolled Act number 8 being original House Bill 9, an act relating to the Department of Workforce Services.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 8 being original House Bill 9. I have so signed House Enrolled Act number 9.
House Enrolled Act number 9 being original House Bill 21, an act relating to state parks and historic sites.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 9 being original House Bill 21. I have so signed House Enrolled Act number 10.
House Enrolled Act number 10, being original House Bill 110, an act relating to retirement plans administered by the Retirement Board of the Wyoming Retirement System.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 10, being original House Bill 110. I have so signed, and House Enrolled Act number 11.
House Enrolled Act number 11, being original House Bill 58, an act relating to game and fish.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 11, being original House Bill 58. I have so signed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we have some more third reading. Okay. House Bill 8, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 8, engrossed, sponsored by the Joint Judiciary Committee. House Bill 8, stalking revisions, an act relating to stalking crimes.
Okay, we have an amendment. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
House Bill 8, third reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 3, line 18.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation.
We're going to do an amendment.
On amendment.
We can go back and start committee of the whole again.
No, please. Mr. President.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. President. I would move. Third reading amendment to House Bill 8 and ask for the committee to...
Amendment number what?
third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 8 and ask for the committee's favorable recommendation on this amendment that just makes a little correction or some language that was left out. All that is.
Okay. Question being called for. We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 8. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. House Bill 8 having read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection. So ordered. Oh, roll call. I was going to get rid of the roll call. You had me going there, Senator Christensen. Call the roll. Let's get it over with.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Flader?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 830, aye.
House Bill 8, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 8 has passed the Senate. House Bill 70, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 70, engrossed, Open Blockchain Tokens Exemptions, sponsored by Representative Lindholm, an act relating to securities.
We do have an amendment. Reading clerk, please read that amendment in.
House Bill 70, third reading amendment number 1, to engrossed copy, page 1, line 4.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1, House Bill 70, ask the body to vote aye. What we've got here is, as everybody knows, this has been laid back a couple of days. There were some issues that came up, I think. And so what you have before that is a resolution from this. My understanding is, talking with the prime sponsor and the executive, that this is a compromise that they reached, and the prime sponsor is wholly in favor of this, and it was actually, they worked it through, and there's some back and forth, so it's been done. I'll take you through it and what it does in 70. What you do if you go to, what we're really doing, if you go to your second page, if you look at line 16 through, line 6 through 16, where it's a definition of what these open blockchain tokens are, that's removed and replaced with what you see in the amendment, where you see Romanet 1s, 2, 3, and below, almost the entire first page. And so what this is doing is, before, the Secretary of State and the state had taken a very hands-off approach with this, that it would be buyer beware, you'd be out there on your own, don't come looking at the state if it doesn't work out for you. That apparently has caused some great concern. And so what this does is, this will provide some insurances that what is going on with the open blockchain token, it is not a security. And so you see these additional requirements there, most of which, if you look, are intended to show that these open blockchain, which are not subject to securities regulation, will indeed not be a security and can't be counterfeited as such. And so you'll see what those new definitions are in those pages. And if you look, it's pretty obvious what they're trying to do, that it's provided as receipt of goods, including the rights to access the goods, services, or content. The developer of the token did not sell the token to the initial buyer as a financial investment. And in doing that, then there's some affirmative proof that has to be taken there that the developer did not market or sell a token as a financial investment. And then you look in Cap B, at least one of those following are true. And that's so what they're intended to do is make sure, is provide assurances that these are not securities and not investments under this. If you go to top of page 2, they added a new Romanet there. Again, and then you'll see one of the differences here is, now the person or the registered agent of that person will now file notice with the Secretary of State of their intent to file one of these open blockchain tokens. And so where before the Secretary of State was not going to have any responsibility. Now the Secretary of State will assume its role as a filing office, and some of this stuff will then be on file. If you go over there, I think the next big change is you're remarking some of those things at the top of page 3. If you go over, there's a significant insert on page 3, line 18. You'll see that down below. Also, if I can show you on page 2 of the amendment, lines 9 through 18, if you look at those citations, those are going to bring you back under securities enforcement. And so if it turns out that one of these is too much like a security, the Secretary of State will have the ability to implement the securities enforcement provisions under the statute. And also at 17, if you look on line 16, that the person for that reference to 174503 is the person claiming the exemption from securities registration will always have the burden of proof to demonstrate that their open blockchain token is indeed not a security. Then again, there's a new subparagraph D that you see on line 22 of the exhibit. That'll go in on that goes in on page 3. After line 18, you can read that for yourself. Over there, I believe what that does is it's with the Secretary of State. I believe that will, even though it will be filed with the Secretary of State, it will be confidential, so it won't necessarily be open to the public, although it would be subject to subpoena or other order or summons for that information. Then you see some renumbering there. Then you get to the last page of the exhibit, where you have some ability of if the commissioner, this is I believe with the commissioner has reason to believe a person is engaged in or about to be engaged in activity which would be subject to this act, but for which an exemption is asserted pursuant to that statute, the commissioner has reason to believe the requirements of that other statute have not been met, then they may issue a short show cause why they should not issue an order to cease and desist. So, and then the rest of that is existing statute, and then the bill remains the same. So, in the end, if you look at that, it's the compromise that the executive has reached with the original proponent. It's going to provide some oversight, some ability to oversight, and also some ability for enforcement and for inquiry by the Secretary of State and doing their job to make sure that when these things are offered, that they're not offered as token, that they're not offered as securities, but they will indeed be exempt from that as some other form of consideration, which could, like I say, could be rechanged, they could be gift cards, loyalty reward type of things that we've heard one particular coffee chain is talking about offering in this regard. So with that, I stand for questions and ask somebody to vote aye.
Questions? Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 70. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 has passed. House Bill 70, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the House bill pass? Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin? Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercutt?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Van Flater?
Aye.
Wasserberger? Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Barnard, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 27 aye, 3 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 70 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I believe with that order of business consideration of bills on general file. Do you have a motion?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. President. I do have a motion. Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole for consideration of bills on general file.
Heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. Senator Rothfuss. A little disagreement in the minority party there.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. First bill for your consideration is House Bill 42. The reading clerk will please read the House bill.
House Bill 42, engrossed, Justice Reform Graduated Sanctions, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure and sentencing, was referred to Committee Number 1, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 42, Justice Reform Graduated Sanctions, to present this nice interim committee bill. Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Senator Christensen. Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a Justice Reform Graduated Sanctions. This grew out of interim work by your Joint Judiciary Committee, and it builds upon work that has previously been done with respect to implementing evidence-based practices in justice reform, that is, taking the best experience from other states where they've actually been shown to impact recidivism and adopting those in Wyoming. Previously, in prior sessions, the legislature adopted, and I love this phrase, a quick dip. It's called a quick dip, and this is for parolees. So a quick dip is this. Pardon? Oh, I'm sorry. He's quick dipping on me. So a quick dip is this. Ordinarily what happens is if a parolee violates parole, their parole officer says, well, you know, in a couple weeks we're going to have a revocation hearing in front of the judge, and then you're going to go back to prison. And then they go back for another year or two. And most of the folks that are going back to prison are it's simple violations of their parole. So the quick dip says this. It's a special program with the parolee's consent. This is the current program. That they consent that if they violate, they can be summarily sent to jail for 1 to 3 days. No waiting in front of a judge, no delay of 2 or 3 weeks. So it's sanctions that are swift and certain and severe. That immediacy has a huge effect in terms of recidivism. So in studies from other states, the National Institute of Justice found this. For those that are in a quick dip group, after 1 year are 55% less likely to be arrested for a new crime, 72% less likely to use drugs, 61% less likely to skip appointments with their supervisory officer, 53% less likely to have their probation revoked, and as a result, they typically served an average of 48% fewer days, which that difference is enough to open up the current anticipated shortage in the prison. It's been successful enough in Wyoming that your Joint Judiciary Committee accepted a recommendation to extend it not only just to parolees, but to probationers. So a quick walkthrough of the bill simply will show that we've added probation to sections where it was typically before just parole. And you'll see that on page 2, lines 5 to 8. And again on line 22 where we've added probation or parole. And then the balance of the bill is simply outlining the program so that it is applicable to the probationers, and then having some limits such as requiring the probationers' consent, saying that these quick dip sanctions cannot exceed 18 days during the term of supervision, and that the department can contract with local jails for a period not to exceed 90 days. The participation of the local jails is entirely by the local sheriff's option, although it's been well enough received that the department tells me that they already have five local jails that would like to add this to their programs, and the department has enough funding for four. The appropriation was cut back, so that the program is going to be cut in about half of what they anticipated. But we want to get a good start on this and be able to demonstrate conclusively in Wyoming that it will pay for itself. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would stand for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Kinski. We're on House Bill 42, Justice Reform Graduated Sanctions, the Quick Dip Bill. Any discussion? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a do-pass recommendation on House Bill 42, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 42 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is House Bill 66. Will the reading clerk please read the House Bill?
House Bill 66, Purchase of Water Rights and Facilities, sponsored by the Water Committee, an act relating to water projects, was referred to Committee Number 5, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Barnard, Emmerich, Hicks, and Moniz, excused Senator Meyer, Senator Moniz acting chairman. Was re-referred to Committee Number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon, Senator Burns chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 26, and when the Committee of the Whole rise and report that it do so with a favorable recommendation. Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment. Could I have that read in at this time?
Okay. Point of order. One moment. Senator Hicks, will you restate that motion? There was a bit of an error in it. Move House Bill again.
Yep. Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 66, and when the Committee of the Whole rise and report that it do so with a favorable recommendation. Mr. Chairman.
Continue, please. Thank you.
And, Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment. Could I have that read in at this time?
House Bill 66, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 5, line 4.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 and for an explanation of the bill, if you would call on Senator Driscoll, please.
Thank you, Senator Hicks. Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I bring to you House Bill 66. I'll leave the deposition of the amendment till the end of the bill. I'll go ahead and explain the bill to you. This bill, unlike past discussions we've had, is for the actual purchase of a piece of a reservoir in Wyoming. It's Lake DeSmet, which lays a little bit north of the city of Buffalo. It's absolutely a wonderful reservoir that was built a number of years ago by a well-known company, and it's moved through the years. And now the reservoir is partially owned by one of the great counties up there, which I'm guessing they're going to get up and have a visit with us about it a little later on. This bill allows the state of Wyoming to purchase the remainder of this reservoir. So as we walk through the bill, page 2 is basically all just definitions on the bill. We go through it. And then starting on page 3, we kind of get into the meat of what we're actually doing. And so it's buying some storage capacity in Lake DeSmet, which we'll get into a little more in depth.
One moment. Point of order. Senator Anderson.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. I think Larry would like him to get his coat on.
Oh. Point of order on the coat. Well taken.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're always open to great advice. Now that I'm fully closed, I'd like to finish explaining the bill, please.
Please do.
So we went through the water storage a little bit. We also, in with this purchase, are coming up with 445 acres of land, which contains Healy Reservoir, which is the second reservoir that lays off the edge of Lake DeSmet and is basically a transfer reservoir, but it's also an absolutely wonderful fishery. It lays across into another stream called Clear Creek that is pretty nice. It's got pumping facilities and a pump station in between it. Allows them to send water down Clear Creek on the project. The water rights easements, everything, the entire piece comes with it. The company's been phenomenal. We don't name companies by name, but this is a really a bargain price purchase on this reservoir. Total budget on it is $4.5 million, and $2.5 million of that's for the reservoir, and the other $2 million of it is for setting up an operations account on it, which is as we kind of come through the thing. This appropriation will allow the water development office to step in, finish purchasing this piece of the reservoir. The reservoir I could go on for a long time with the possible uses. We've got some lawsuits with Montana that ultimately this could alleviate some of our problems with our neighbor to the north as far as water. It also has some really good early water rights that can allow us to build yet another good reservoir project to provide both drinking and irrigation water. Long and short of it, that's the whole run of the bill. The amendment is a good little amendment I put on that merely states that they're going to come back and tell us what the costs have actually been so we can see how it's been operated. Is that wrong, Larry? Excuse me, Senator.
No. Senator, we're on Standing Committee Amendment number 1, and you're referring to Standing Committee Amendment number 2. Let's dispatch of Amendment number 1, if you can take a look at that.
I don't have it in my folder. What's wrong?
Okay. Let's get Senator Hicks to work the amendment briefly. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, I have moved the amendment. So if you just go into page 5, line 4 on the bill, currently it's structured under subsection C. It just says that in addition to authorized purchase price, in the approved agreement, the office may use appropriate funds to pay for reasonable and prudent closing costs. We thought this was more of a typical real estate transaction, so what it now reads is that the state will pay for 50% of the closing costs. Ask for your favorable consideration of yes on Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 66.
Thank you, Senator Hicks. We are on the Standing Committee Amendment number 1. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Hicks' motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 66, say aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 66, Standing Committee Amendment number 1, has passed the Committee of the Whole. We are back on the House bill. Any further discussion? Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, could we have Standing Committee Amendment number 2 brought up?
Absolutely. Let's have Standing Committee Amendment number 2 read in, please.
House Bill 66, Standing Committee Amendment number 2, page 6 after line 15.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, I would move for favorable adoption of Standing Committee Amendment number 2 to House Bill 66. Folks, this is the one I tried to explain to you, this reporting requirement that merely says they're going to come back until 2020 and tell us what the actual costs to run the reservoir are, find out if we're doing it efficiently. With that, I'd ask for question or answer questions.
Any discussion on the second Standing Committee Amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Driscoll's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 66, say aye. Excuse me. All those in favor of Senator Driscoll's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment number 2 to House Bill 66, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment number 2 has passed the Committee of the Whole. We're back on the bill. Senator Driscoll?
Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for any questions.
Thank you, Senator Driscoll. Any discussion on House Bill 66, Purchase of Water Rights and Facilities? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Hicks' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 66, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 66 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is House Bill 69. Will the reading clerk read the House bill?
House Bill 69, Impersonation Through Electronic Means, Spoofing, sponsored by Representative Steinmetz, an act relating to crimes and offenses, was referred to Committee Number 1, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Or Senator Burns, would you like to be recognized? Senator Burns.
Privilege of the floor, please.
Yes, Senator Burns, privilege of the floor.
Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, would like to be excused to go down to the JAC room to work on re-referred Bill 1, House Bill 140, so we can get that knocked out.
Absolutely. Thank you, Senator Burns.
And if the members would bring the two amendments that were included in today's packet, that would make things handier. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Burns. As I said, you've heard the reading of the House bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 69, impersonation through electronic means, spoofing. And to present this good bill is the Senator Case.
Thank you, Senator Christensen. Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this is a bill that goes in and makes a change in our identity theft law, Mr. Chairman. We have, in our current statute, we have identity theft. We actually have an existing definition of spoofing, and we have, and by the way, spoofing means falsifying the name or phone number appearing on a caller identification system, and that's in our existing law already. It's part of present. That's Part B, Romanet 3, already in law. So this is just sort of a repackaging of this, Mr. Chairman, and also creating some elements here. So the old law said, any person who knowingly and without consent intentionally impersonates another actual person through or on an Internet website or by other electronic means, including but not limited to spoofing, and causes or attempts to cause harm is guilty. So, Mr. Chairman, we're repackaging that. It says a person is guilty of a misdemeanor punishable by a fine of not more than $1,000, imprisonment for not more than 1 year, or both, if he knowingly and without consent intentionally impersonates another actual person through or on an Internet website or by other electronic means, including but not limited to spoofing, and these three elements. Romanet 1, causes or attempts to cause harm. Romanet 2, harasses or attempts to harass another person while using false self-identifying information related to that person impersonated. Or 3, uses or attempts to use false self-identifying information related to the person impersonated as an unauthorized deceptive means to facilitate contact with another person. And, Mr. Chairman, I think you can think about all the bad things that can happen if your identity is stolen and in this manner. And it happens a lot now, and it's really kind of unfortunate. There are even programs, for example, that will steal your telephone number, and when you call someone up, it will appear as someone else's phone number that's known to them, for example. So, for example, I have a friend who's a lobbyist down here. He's also from Lander. His number was taken and used to call a friend of his, and it appeared as if it came from this gentleman's phone, and so naturally they took the call. It can also happen in another electronic means, Mr. Chairman. It's very can be quite insidious and deceptive, and can lead to bad consequences. This doesn't change the penalty; it just clarifies kind of the pieces of it, Mr. Chairman. I'll do my best to answer questions.
Thank you, Senator Case. Any questions or discussion? Senator Christensen.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I've got 10 questions. No, I don't.
Please use 8.
The only issue I'd like to share is in committee we heard testimony from the original sponsor that had received a phone call, didn't answer the phone call, but when they checked on the phone call, it was from the hospital. And so all of a sudden, stress level shoots up, and they're calling the hospital. Nobody knows quite where the phone call came from. But this is one of those examples that could change somebody's day and how they proceed through their day when all of a sudden they believe they're getting an emergency phone call from a hospital in this example. So just to cut down on this, it seems like we usually see this as kind of a tricky fundraising. This is how it usually happens. But when you start to hear about how people are tapping into emergency services numbers and so forth, it seems like a good bill.
Thank you, Senator. Any further discussion on House Bill 69? Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for the bringers of the bill. It says on page 2, if he knowingly and without consent intentionally impersonates another actual person. And just looking online a little bit, it looks like you have people who don't, they're not necessarily trying to impersonate another actual person, but maybe trying to use an organization's, like a business phone number, that might compel a person to answer one of these phone calls. So I'm wondering if actual person would cover organizations or businesses that might prompt someone to answer that phone.
Thank you, Senator Ellis. Any additional questions before the sponsor rises? Seeing none, Senator Case.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I do agree that that's kind of a horrific sentence, but I didn't write this, so...
you will not be blamed.
I will not be blamed, but perhaps we can do a little bit better job. Mr. Chairman, though, you know, I think the impersonating the organizations is of a lesser consequence. It does happen all the time. You're getting... There's sort of a general way that it happens, like in my hometown, like yours... There are certain prefixes that are local numbers, you all know, and so you've gotten used to answering those numbers when they come up. But lo and behold, it's not, turns out it's not a local originating number. It's someone that's just wants you to try to trick you into answering their phone. Maybe they might go a step further and use the number of an organization, like the example of the hospital that was given. But I think the bill was actually about stealing someone's number, a particular number, or other identification, and trying to be that person, not a member of that organization, on and on and on. I would welcome any help with the better drafting to my colleague on the other side of the poll. But I think it's really aimed at the individual case of really an identity theft. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Case, ask a question, get a job. Anyone else have any further discussion or questions? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 69, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 69 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is House Bill 86. Will the reading clerk please read the House bill?
House Bill 86, engrossed, Medicaid Birth Cost Recovery, sponsored by Representative Stitt, an act relating to welfare, was referred to Committee Number 10, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
Senator Von Fladen, before we get to the bill.
Yeah, point of order on that. Would everybody please make sure there's at least 16 people on here on the floor before you walk out? We got down to 19 at one point, and so three people had left. We'd have been out of quorum. So make sure you count people before you walk out.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. You've heard the reading of the House bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 86 do pass. There was a standing committee amendment. I ask it be read in at this time.
House Bill 86, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Engrossed Copy, page 8, line 5.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. Mr. Chairman, this is the Medicaid Birth Cost Recovery Bill. The Standing Committee Amendment came to us in committee from Department of Family Services. It turns out that until 2013... they were doing this kind of cost recovery in Medicaid, and that they had a set procedure. What the amendment does is conform the bill, the procedures in the bill, to what they actually have done in the past and know how to do. It corrects at least one typo in here as well, and it changes some language to be more familiar with what they've done. It should facilitate the administration. Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions, Standing Committee Amendment.
We're on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are there any questions or discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Scott's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 86, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 86, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, has passed the Committee of the Whole and been adopted. Back on the bill, Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, to explain the bill, let me first say... this is a bill that is intended to create more fairness in the Medicaid system and a bill that's intended to generate some revenue in the process from the state by recovering some of these costs that we're expending. And we've heard complaints, Mr. Chairman, Committee 10, I've heard them over the years, that particularly in some of the wealthier counties with the higher paying wages, what was going on was that couples, she'd get pregnant, he had the high-paying job in the mines or elsewhere, they would not get married, which is unfortunate. incentive, Mr. Chairman, but he'd not get married so the birth could be paid for by Medicaid rather than having paid for by the couple or their insurance as is normally done. And this was going on some kind of a scale. It's estimated that we were told in committee that the state spends $24 million a year on these birth costs for the expenses that are incurred on the day the birth occurs. And if you include the pre- and postnatal care, it goes up between $28 and $30 million a year. So this is big money. The department didn't have an estimate as to how much this would recover, but the sponsor said if you projected off the experience in Wisconsin, where they passed a very similar bill, Mr. Chairman, they recovered $17 million. They have seven times larger number of births on Medicaid we would expect, based on that, we should get $2.3 million per year in recovery. I would caution, it's quite clear that these recoveries come in a little slowly, so you won't get them all up front. They're still working on some from 2013. But it is potentially a significant savings. I will say the department was concerned they would lose I believe it was $350,000 federal incentive payment that they're getting because this would be a distraction from their main mission of child support enforcement collections. And, Mr. Chairman, we're going to that organization to do it because they have experience with this recovery system in the past and because they're the ones that do the child support enforcement in the state and know how to establish paternity and that sort of thing and have a very good track record, Mr. Chairman, in doing that. We're recovering now 67%, I believe the testimony was, of the child support enforcement obligations, which is up, Mr. Chairman, from 13% 20 years ago when welfare reform started. So we're really achieving something there. This bill put some limitations on it. Oh, and they also said that 36% of the births in the state of Wyoming are on Medicaid, which is a good deal higher percentage than it is of the general impoverishment level in the childbearing age of the population. But that's down from it was as high as 46% not too many years ago. Mr. Chairman, the limitations in the bill, first, they say, and it's on page 7, line 15, you'll see that the birth costs that we try to recover shall not exceed the average Medicaid birth cost for the state. So there, if there's, say, $1 million baby, some terrible genetic accident, we have to send them to Colorado, they aren't going to try to recover that cost. They're just going to try to recover not to exceed the average cost, and the percentage recovery of that average cost will vary by the income level of the father. There's a table in there. It starts at 200-250% at 10% and goes up to over 450% of federal poverty. It's a 50% recovery. And that's found on page 6 starting at line 10. Goes over in the middle of page 7. There's also a department administrative fee authorized on page 7, line 6. Mr. Chairman, I think this does provide some justice in the Medicaid system. It partially gets rid of this incentive, which is an evil incentive, in our Medicaid system to cause couples not to get married. So I think that's a positive with this bill. Mr. Chairman, beyond that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Any discussion? Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, on the birth certificates, are you required to put the birth father on that birth certificate? I bet this bill will make for some interesting fathers on the birth certificates if you are required to put it on there.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. Any additional questions or discussion? Seeing none, Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I'm pretty sure it doesn't happen on occasions when they don't know or won't say. These people have gotten pretty skilled at finding out, witness the 67% collection of the child support obligations. They know how to establish paternity. They know how to get that done. And in this day and age, with the genetic testing, if they go through that, and I think they generally do, there isn't much question. You got to know who to test. But once you know that, it gets established. And we've done quite well, Mr. Chairman, on that score.
Any further discussion on House Bill 86, Medicaid birth cost recovery? Senator Scott, back to you.
I would add one thing to that. I've seen bureaucracies more enthusiastic about taking on a task. I think that this one, Appropriations Committee, unfortunately not here, but this is one, Mr. Chairman, one of the committees ought to take a look at in a year or two and see if they actually get the job done.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 86, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 86 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is House Bill 119. Will the reading clerk please read the House bill?
House Bill 119, Genetic Information Privacy, sponsored by Representative Olson, an act relating to genetic information privacy, was referred to Committee Number 4, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Coe, Ellis, Pappas, Rothfuss, and Wasserberger. Senator Coe, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the file. What is your pleasure, Senator Rothfuss?
Well, that would be nice, wouldn't it? I was kind of enjoying it.
Thank you. Senator Rothfuss, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 119, and will defer to myself for an explanation of the House bill.
You don't have a special name for yourself?
Not today.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, House Bill 119, Genetic Information Privacy, is a piece of legislation that we saw before. We actually passed this bill in its current form a year ago, but there ended up being an error in the legislation that led to a requirement that it be vetoed, and we run it again after fixing the error. So that's exactly what happened. I asked the executive branch to do so. It was kind enough to do so, and we came back with the legislation with that small bit fixed. So it is unchanged. It passed both chambers. And just to remind the body, this legislation goes through and delineates what can and can't be done with genetic information to protect the privacy rights that you have with regard to your genetic information, while at the same time providing some permissive statutes that allow you to use that, to allow laboratories to use it, to allow it to be utilized in medical practices. So that's just a brief reminder. But, Mr. Chairman, we have passed this before. Hopefully the body will be favorable once again and nothing much has changed. But all that said, Mr. Chairman, we do have a standing committee amendment number one that I would ask be read in.
Go ahead.
House Bill 119, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, corrected copy, page 3, line 7.
Back to you, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 119 and ask the body for favorable consideration. Even though we passed this once, Mr. Chairman, there was some concern that came up this time over some specific language on page 3 of the bill, line 7, where we talk about informed consent. And it wasn't necessarily about how we define informed consent. It was the use of electronic signatures. We already have in statute the use of electronic signatures as being the equivalent of a signature, but there was concern by this entity that it wasn't explicit and there might be some confusion. So all we're doing with this amendment is inserting, after the word form on line 7, or forms in writing or by electronic signature, as defined in statute. The rest would be the same, to clarify the fact that an electronic signature as defined in statute can be utilized instead of just a written signature. If there are no questions on the amendment, I'd ask the body to support it. Call for the question.
Discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Rothfuss' motion that we accept the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 119, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Amendment's carried. Back on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, with that, I would take any questions on the legislation, but as I pointed out, it's exactly what we passed last year.
Any questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Seeing none. The question is on Senator Rothfuss' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 119. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. 119 is passed Committee of the Whole. Next file for our consideration is House Bill 129.
House Bill 129 engrossed. Glider Kit Vehicles, Title and Registration, sponsored by Representative Kirkbride, an act relating to motor vehicles, was referred to Committee Number 9, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senator Anderson, Coe, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. Senator Von Flatern, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the House Bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it do so with a do pass on House Bill 129, Glider Kit Vehicles, Titles, and Registration. There is a standing committee amendment. I'd ask that it be read in at this point.
House Bill 129, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, to engrossed copy, page 6, line 4.
And, Mr. Chairman, I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 129 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. What this is a way of titling and certifying and registering, excuse me, your glider kits. Glider kits are those where you get in a wreck with your semi-truck, your tractor, and you bend the frame or something, so you buy a glider kit, which is consisting of the frame, the cab, the electrical, usually the front axle. And you'll see through this amendment, we deleted the fact that you have, it says wheels, too, as describing a glider kit. But this amendment goes clear back to page 6. And it goes page 6, line 4, after hood, delete the comma and insert and. After axles, on page 6, line 5, you delete and wheels. So we want to make the definition of a glider kit to be a little less stringent, then you have to have wheels to have it work as a glider kit. So basically what this does is goes into the titles on how you can register these. Today they you have a glider kit that's a 2018 glider kit if you bought one today, but yet your components may be the engine and the transmission would be of a 2008 or so, but you got in a wreck, so you bought a glider kit. So your cab and your frame would be a 2018, and you'd have to register it, or you may register it as 2005, even though you spent quite a bit of money into buying the glider kit and upgrading it to a 2017 or 18. So this goes in there and says, certificate of a title on page 4 issued under this section shall list the model year as the model year that the body of the glider kit vehicle resembles. So in other words, if it's a 2018 body, you get to, it'll reflect it on the certification on the title that it's a 2018. What you will have to go is to the serial numbers of each component that you reused and find out what they are. They may be a 2008 engine. It may be a 2006 transmission. But that serial number on the component will tell you what year it is. So this is a way that they can certify the titles. The vehicle identification number that is listed on the certificate of title shall be the vehicle identification number listed on the manufacturer's statement of origin. And what they do there is that they want to figure out a way that you can, what number you shall use. And they have a DOT number on your vehicle, you have a serial number on different components, you have a serial number on the frame, and you have various other numbers scattered around the vehicle on different components. And so what they're trying to do is limit this to the vehicle identification number that is listed on a certificate of title shall be the vehicle identification number listed on the manufacturer's statement of origin. And then it goes down further to say that the glider kit vehicle means every large, this is on page, top of page 6, glider kit vehicle means every large truck manufactured from a kit manufactured by a manufacturer of large trucks that consists of a frame, a cab complete with wiring and instruments, fenders, hoods, front axles. And this is where we put that amendment in that said you do not have to buy the wheels, which most people would not probably buy the wheels with it. But the fact was we defined what a glider kit was so somebody could not sell you a 2018 just because they changed the frame out and used the same cab. That is something that would be different. The MSO number is the manufacturer's statement of origin. The MSO number would be used on everything where you would do when you buy a new car, you'd go to, I think they have a Carfax now. And this one, you'd go to MSO, and then you'd realize that it's been a glider kit, and you would figure out that the components may not be as new as the frame and the cab suggest. So this is a way of using a glider kit and registering it and getting a title for it and not losing your value having it registered as a 2008 when you just bought a 2018 frame and cab. So that's what the bill does. I stand for questions.
Thank you.
We're on the amendment, actually.
Correct. Thank you. We're on the standing committee amendment number 1. Are there any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Von Fladen's motion to adopt standing committee amendment number 1 to House Bill 129, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing committee amendment number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any discussion on House Bill 129, glider kit vehicles, title and registration? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. I had a call from one of my larger trucking firms back in my district, and they're concerned with this bill as they go to license these gliders, and they participate heavily in these glider kits and how that would affect their registration costs and the value of their how those trucks are valued from that point on. And, of course, they've got the old engine in them and transmission and those parts. But if the sponsor could just further explain to me and put my mind at rest on how this might have a negative effect or how we get around that possibly with an amendment to understand the purpose of the bill. They're just concerned about how that's going to affect their business and how when they register and license these glider trucks as they come off the line.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Any additional questions for the proponent? Seeing none. Senator Von Fladen.
You know, Mr. Chairman, amazingly, we didn't even discuss the ramifications of it being a 2018 vehicle all of a sudden, where it may have some components in it. And I will get an answer for the person that questioned that because it never really came up, and we'll get the answer.
Thank you, Senator Von Fladen. Additional discussion. Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I think the answer the answer is it kind of depends. So if you look at the bill, if you go, and this may be applicable to my good friend from the Cali area, if you go to page 3, look at 9-8, well, starting at line 8. So what you've got in here, these glider kits are either going to be one manufactured kind of by, I would refer to it as the end user. So if you're the shop and you're the trucking company, you buy the glider kit and you assemble it in the shop, it's going to be handled under that cap B. If you're buying it out of the manufacturer's going to assemble and you're just going to buy it from them, then that, if you go to page 2, line 19, cap A, that's where that's going to be completely assembled by the manufacturer. So the answer to the question is if it's completely done by the manufacturer has, if you look at lines 22 and 23, but it's assembled by the manufacturer completely. They have to do an MSRP, manufacturer suggested retail price, for all those components. And so that's how you get the value. So you'll have that value. It should come in somewhat less than a brand-new truck, but it'll come, you know, obviously there's going to be some value there. If they're assembling those in the shop on lines 8 through 12, then what you see there is the glider kit vehicles fully assembled after purchase from the manufacturer, then it's just a notarized statement and an appraisal from the assembler. So ultimately that value, as I read that, it's one of the being those things, the old legal adage that pigs get fed and hogs get slaughtered. As long as you go in there with a reasonable appraisal, that's what the appraisal price for the property tax issues and the licensing is going to be. So ultimately, If that's assembled in the shop, it's going to be by yourself. It's going to be, you're going to be the one that appraises that. And like I said, you probably can get in some trouble if you underappraise. If it's something by the manufacturer, that number is going to be provided to you, so you would have at least a value of what the MSRP, which is what those vehicles are appraised on anyway, under our taxing scheme. Hopefully that answers the question.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Any additional discussion? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? That was quiet. I feel like you're more ready than you said. All those in favor of Senator Von Flader's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 129, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 129 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is House Bill 144. Will the reading clerk please read the House bill?
House Bill 144, engrossed. Wyoming Invests Now Exemption Amendments, sponsored by Representative Olson, an act relating to the Uniform Securities Act, was referred to Committee Number 9, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Coe, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. Senator Von Flatern, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the House bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so on a favorable recommendation of House Bill 144, Wyoming Invest Now Exemption Amendments, and I ask the Chair to please call on Senator Nethercart.
Thank you, Senator Von Flader, and Senator Nethercart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senators, you have before you House Bill 144. Which is the Wyoming Invest Now Exemptions Amendments. This bill is being brought to you in order to do three different things, essentially. The first, and most importantly, is to amend some of the provisions to make them conform to federal law, as you can see in the introduction of the bill. They're a very important piece. At the time this legislation was passed, ships were passing in the night regarding updates to the SEC regulations regarding this particular type of investment. And so what this does is goes back to make those conforming to ensure that this particular type of security interest meets the exemptions under the SEC and under state law. So that's the primary purpose of one of these amendments. The other thing that the bill does, found on pages 4 and 5, is it increases the amounts that can be raised from $1 million to $2 million and from $2 million to $4 million, respectively. So another important piece regarding a change from our previous legislation of a couple years ago. And then the third major amendment to this particular bill, or major change from our current statute, increases the amount that an individual can invest in this particular type of interest from $5,000 to $10,000, and that's found on page 6 of the bill. With that, the remainder are conforming amendments to comply with the securities laws. For that, I stand for questions and ask for your favorable consideration on House Bill 144.
Thank you, Senator Nethercott. We're on House Bill 144, Wyoming Invests Now Exemption Amendments. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Von Flatern's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 144, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. House Bill 144 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is House Bill 162. Will the reading clerk please read the House bill?
House Bill 162, engrossed. Penitentiary Savings Fund Amendments, sponsored by Representative Walters, an act relating to the Wyoming State Penitentiary, was referred to Committee Number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Landon. Excused, Senator Hastert. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the House bill. What is your pleasure? Let's see, who is the prime sponsor in this? We don't have the Appropriations Committee on the floor. Is there anyone that would want to rise to this? We can lay it back. All right. House Bill 162 is laid back until we have people on the floor that can work the bill. The next bill for your consideration is House Bill 172. Will the reading clerk please read the House bill?
House Bill 172, engrossed. Produced Water Treatment, sponsored by Representative Byrd, an act relating to oil and gas taxes, was referred to Committee Number 9, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. Excused, Senator Coe. Senator Von Flatern, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Von Flatern?
Mr. Chairman, I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable consideration of House Bill 172, Produced Water Treatment. And fellow senators, it's as easy as that one pager is. It says natural gas, which is consumed prior to sale for treating byproduct water, is defined so the water is acceptable for beneficial use in Wyoming, has no value and is exempt from taxation. And that's referencing the natural gas that's used prior to the point of sale. So they'll probably have to set up, if they treat the water that's also coming out of the well, they'll have to set up on the well site. That has always been our biggest problem with this treating water, is that it was always after the point of sale. So what we're saying is if you use natural gas to treat the water that comes up with the gas, non-potable, and you make it in some manner acceptable for beneficial use, whether it is used or not, but you do get it to that point as certified by DEQ, then it is, then you do not pay any tax on the natural gas used in that process. And that's what this bill says, and I ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Von Flader. And is there any discussion on House Bill 172, Produced Water Treatment? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Von Flader's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 172, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 172 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is House Bill 26. Will the reading clerk please read the House Bill?
House Bill 26, Post-Conviction Relief, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure, was referred to Committee Number 1, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the House Bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 26, Post-Conviction Relief. Present the bill will be Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Senator Christensen. Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senators, you have before you House Bill 26. This particular bill reflects a significant amount of work over the course of years, and most specifically this interim from the Joint Judiciary Committee. What the bill really does is it revises and enhances, I believe, our post-conviction statutes to allow for an individual who's been wrongfully convicted, who's either incarcerated or has served their time or has just been convicted, to have their have that conviction reviewed based on very clear parameters within the bill regarding factual innocence. It combines our current construct for post-conviction review and enhances it to allow for additional evidence of what we call factual innocence as found in the bill. Those particular parameters are found on pages 7 through about 10, and they're very important to understand that there's the sidebars or sideboards associated with this particular bill are high, and it's not going to result in any kind of floodgate of appeals. What's also very important about this is currently within our statutory code, there's only really two avenues for appeal. One is within the first 30 days after conviction, you have a duty to appeal if you want to. And then after that, there's about a two-year period. Beyond that, there is no other ability to appeal a conviction. And so someone who may be wrongfully incarcerated has no legal avenue to do so. And so this removes those particular provisions when there is proof of factual innocence. And so a very important bill that's been heavily worked. I'd stand for questions and ask for your favorable consideration.
Thank you, Senator Nethercott. Any discussion on House Bill 26, Post-Conviction Relief? Seeing none, questions been called. All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 26, say aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 26 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is House Bill 39. Will the reading clerk please read the House Bill?
House Bill 39, Engrossed, Wildlife Conservation License Plates, sponsored by Representative Blake, an act relating to motor vehicle license plates, was referred to Committee Number 8, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the House Bill. What is your pleasure? Who would like to stand up from the Transportation Committee? Well, We're on standby. Please stand by. Senator Baldwin.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises before to do so with a recommendation that House Bill 39 do pass. And to explain this bill, I would turn it over to the good senator from south of me.
Thank you, Senator Baldwin. The good senator from south of him, Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate. I bring you House Bill 39 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the Senate, I have the honor of introducing House Bill 39. It's a wildlife conservation license plate bill. This bill takes the first step towards solving our wildlife and roadways conflicts. House Bill 39 raises the profile of the issue, lets the public voluntarily participate, and creates a feeling of ownership over the solution. In Wyoming, wildlife is what makes it special to live here. Like our energy resources and Western culture, wildlife is an economic benefit to our state. All of us care about our wildlife, Mr. Chairman. The YDOT cares about this issue, and because many of our highways, over half of all the known collisions that occur are due to wildlife. In fact, in Wyoming, 1 in 15 human fatalities on our highways involve a wildlife crash. Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate, in 2016, there were a total of 2,874 wildlife vehicle collisions reported. And I emphasize reported, as it is estimated that twice as many go unreported. Mitigating efforts to limit wildlife motorist accidents work with resounding success. Many of us are familiar with the Trappers Point wildlife crossings outside of Pinedale, and those crossings have been 80% effective at reducing accidents, and it is predicted they will pay for themselves in within 12 years, Mr. Chairman. This is to make our roads safer. To make our roads safer for our families is something we should all be proud of and take part of. This bill has broad support. It makes sense to use license plates to help make the fund work that is specific to making Wyoming's roadways safer for our citizens and travelers while protecting our wildlife. The cost of the plate would be $150 on initial purchase, $50 every consecutive year for the 7-year period required by YDOT. The money will go into an account in the treasurer's office, sort of earmarked for the specifically regarding wildlife conflict with roadways. It'll be a joint effort with the with YDOT and the wildlife organizations to distribute the money to projects to make our roadways safer and to keep our wildlife thriving. So far, there have been 2,527 pledges for promotion of these plates as of March 1st. The total money raised in the 7-year period by just the pre-pledged plates, that would be difficult to say twice, would be $1,137,150. So, Mr. Chairman, as I stated, 2,500 people have pledged on a website to purchase these plates once these have gone in. Collisions have been reduced at the Trappers Point between Pinedale and Daniel. 3 years after the construction, crashes involved mule deer have reduced by 80%. Crashes that involved antelope have been eliminated entirely. Nugget Canyon, on a 13-mile section of US 30 between Kemmer and Sage Junction, wildlife vehicle crashes have been reduced by 81%. So there's overwhelming evidence that these work. I ask for your yes vote to allow the Wyoming residents to voluntarily support efforts to make our roadways safer for our families and world-class wildlife. Let's all be part of the solution and the beginning of a movement that will carry into the future. Mr. Chairman, there's If anybody ever wants to swing by over here, there's a sample of what a plate might look like. But going through the bill, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and I apologize, the JEC actions have prevented me from being as prepared as I would have liked. Page one, page two, section A sets up the statement of eligibility that, and these are all boilerplate type of language that's in any of the other license plate actions that we've seen in the past. So these are the same. The statements of eligibility and all of that is the same as, like, for the UW plates, for example. The fees collected in B, the fees collected shall be distributed to the wildlife conservation account within the state highway fund, and then on to page three, shall apply at least 30 days before registration is required. Again, the same language that's in any of the other license plate bills. The department shall prescribe the design of the wildlife plate with public and other interested parties, so public gets to participate in the design. And promulgating rules on page four. And then it states, section F, it states, unless 1,000 sets of license plates are issued under this section before December 31st, 2023, the plates authorization under this section shall be eliminated. So there, it is requiring that there is good support for this before it can be carried out. Department of Transportation shall be described in the section two again. That gives the but authorized to promulgate rules. Section three talks about the account again, and or establishes the account, and then the effective day is January 1st, 2019, so that gives plenty of time for public input. And then Section 2 of this act would be effective immediately to get to work on the design of the plate. So, Mr. Chairman, that's it. I was going to pass out this other document that shows there is multiple considerable support for this legislation across the state of Wyoming. There's an organization that many of you might belong to that is in favor of this. The fact that it reduces the, it's proven when that YDOT has established these in a few areas, that it's proven that these can help considerably reduce the number of crashes between wildlife and automobiles or vehicles. And I just can't say, you know, I think the idea is to save life, you know, because it was I remember it was noted in committee that, you know, all these highways were built around the state of Wyoming, but the animals never changed their migratory pathways, and so they're cutting right across there. So they're always going to be cutting across those areas. This is a way for people to participate in a solution, and it's been very well received, and I will stand for questions. And if there's none, I ask for your favorable consideration on House Bill 39.
Thank you, Senator Hastert. Discussion on House Bill 39, Wildlife Conservation License Plate, Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will be a no vote on this. I always liked it when we had one license plate, and we don't need to be a state like the state south of us, which you hardly can tell what state they come from. So I am not in favor of this bill. Also, the fact is, if you want to raise $10,000 or $20,000, you can donate. You don't need to buy a license plate as your donation. You can just donate to the Wildlife Fund. The other thought is that last year we defeated, and the other body defeated a license plate for some people that survived breast cancer. I thought that was a little more important than hoping to raise $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000, which will put up a few signs for wildlife, you know, for collision avoidance. But in reality, those overpasses that were mentioned by Pinedale, wildlife overpasses cost millions of dollars. And this will never, ever come near that. So, you know, I'm a no vote. I'm probably in the minority, I realize, but I just like our one license plate. And now we have seven or eight, which I always oppose them. So we'll see how it goes.
Thank you, Senator Von Fladen. There's nothing wrong with being in the minority. Anyone else? Discussion on House Bill 39. Further discussion on House Bill 39? Seeing none, questions been called for. All those in favor of Senator Baldwin's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 39, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 39 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is House Bill 84. Will the reading clerk please read the House Bill?
House Bill 84, engrossed. Approval of bridge designs, plans, and specifications, sponsored by Representative Larson. An act relating to highways. Was referred to Committee Number 8, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. No, Senator Anderson. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the House Bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Agar?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 84. For explanation of this bill, I turn the floor to our fine senator from Teton County.
Fine senator from Teton County. That's Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. House Bill 84, members of the Senate, is really originated out of the Alvarez Efficiency Study. When they got in and looked at some of the areas where we have duplication of services or unnecessary services, this one was one of them. And they recommended that the modification of statute that requires the department to design or review all bridges that is used by cities, towns, or counties in their respective jurisdiction. So this was when they were in there looking at YDOT. And I'll just if you'll take a look at the bill over on page 2. Line 3, and then this gets a little repetitive on what it does, but it brings in, when it says the Board of County Commissioners of any county or governing body of any city or town shall cause to be prepared comprehensive plans and specifications for the construction of any bridge on any dedicated or maintained road in its jurisdiction. And that just, to sum that up, it just allows both counties and towns, gives them the responsibility of preparing those plans and specifications within their jurisdictions. The question came up, would this include a bridge over I-80 if it was going through your county? And the answer is no, that would be YDOT's responsibility. On down into further down in page 2, similar language about jurisdiction and the offices of the governing body. Over on page, at the bottom of page 2, and the top of page 3, you see some stricken language. That is outdated language, replaced with, at the bottom of that paragraph on line 4, Board of Professional Engineers and Professional Land Surveyors. We don't have a State Board of Examining Engineers. What we do have is a Board of Professional Engineers and Land Surveyors. And then moving on down, again, continuing language, adding in governing bodies, cities and towns. And at the bottom of page 3, the same thing about responsibility. And these are all changes in the just existing statute. We do have new language at the top of page 4. It says this has to be approved by a professional engineer supervising the construction of the bridge. That line itself, when we talk about removing the responsibility from YDOT folks, this is where it clarifies that the same standards have to be met by a professional engineer, both to design those plans and supervise the construction of the bridge. And that is the same standards that YDOT has to use, that all the engineers have to use. And then farther down on line 4, it says, within 90 days of the bridge being open to traffic, the Board of County Commissioners or governing body will provide the design plans and specifications, load rating for the bridge, to the chief engineer, the Department of Transportation. And what that is for is they still have the responsibility every 2 years to inspect all the bridges in the state. And so this just ensures that while they may not be designing it or approving those plans, the plans have to make their way to YDOT. The most important part of the bill, folks, is the repealer over on the bottom of page 5. And the repealer goes in and removes the language in 24-2106A. 4 and B, and that language says that YDOT is required to prepare and approve plans or specifications for all bridges to be constructed by any county, city, or town within the state. And then in B, that no construction, no contract for construction is valid unless YDOT has done that work. The safety factor, the standards, the qualifications are still all the same. This just pulls YDOT out of the loop. It doesn't exclude YDOT from doing those jobs. However, it gives towns and counties the opportunity to go out and either use their own staff or contract with outside help, removing one step, and that is the final, again, review that YDOT has been required to do in the past. This is about cleaning things up. It'll save YDOT a little bit of money and time, and it'll also allow your towns and counties to be able to take this on and expedite it in a more efficient and quicker manner. With that, I'd ask for your support. There is an amendment, I believe, on this one. Nope, no amendment on this
one. Don't believe so. No amendment.
Don't believe so. So, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Christensen. Any discussion on House Bill 84, approval of bridge designs, plans, and specifications? Seeing none, question's been called. All those in favor of Senator Agar's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 84, say aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 84 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Senator Case, would you come up here a moment? The next bill for your consideration is House Bill 53. Would the reading clerk please read the House bill?
House Bill 53, engrossed, State Educational Program, an act relating to education, sponsored by the School Finance Committee, was referred to Committee Number 4, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Amended, ayes, Senators Coe, Ellis, Pappas, Raffas, and Wasserberger. Senator Coe, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the file. What is your, or the bill? What is your pleasure, Senator Coe?
Mr. Chairman, I move when the Committee of the Whole rise and report do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 53. There is a standing committee amendment. Ask that it be read in at this time.
House Bill 53, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 6.
Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the Standing Committee Amendment for an explanation of the Standing Committee Amendment and the bill. Defer to Senator Raffas.
Senator Raffas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, House Bill 53, State Educational Program, is after the amendment, turns very similar to the legislation that we had earlier where we looked at a piece of legislation specifically relating to computer science education in the state of Wyoming and computer science standards. Walking through the legislation, this is an alternative form of it that was passed from the Select Committee on the School Finance Recalibration that has a softer version. The body will recall that there were two concepts within the basket of goods, the so-called basket of goods, which you see on page 3, moving on to page 4. Within the Common Core of Knowledge, there currently is career vocational education, and this draft, as it comes over from the other chamber, just adds on computer science to career vocational education, and then continues on to page 4 to add computational thinking along with computer applications as we did in the other legislation. Then on page 4 moving on, we see here as we're looking at success curriculum, a modification similar to what we did before, allowing that math or computer science courses taken in 9 through 12 can be counted and up to 1 year of those math courses can be computer science. We see a similar change in language at the bottom of page 5. On to page 6, that's conforming language. And then you'll see, Mr. Chairman, on page 6 in section 3, a requirement that the Professional Teacher Standards Board shall report to the legislature on its progress to promulgate rules and regulations to facilitate this teaching. And in section 4, that the State Board of Education shall promulgate uniform student content and performance standards for computer science before January 1st, 2020. So there's a lot of similarities to what we saw before, but your education committee felt that the stronger version that we passed out of this chamber was still preferable, and this amendment goes in and makes those modifications. So, Mr. Chairman, I would ask that Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 be read in. I don't believe
it was.
Actually,
it has been read in and moved by the good chairman.
And it was moved by the good chairman. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. So, when we're looking at Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, there are a few key changes. The first and foremost is that rather than on page 3, tacking computer science on to career and vocational education so that it's an or statement. When you use a slash in statute, that's an or. As we did in the other piece of proposed legislation, we changed it so we added an independent O point of computer science. That way, career and vocational education will still stand on its own as being important, and computer science will now be a new aspect of the Common Core of Knowledge should this pass. The next few pieces are conforming amendments on renumbering, and then you'll see we're making a couple of additions on the Section 5 where the Department of Education shall conduct a thorough analysis of all changes and costs necessary to implement this act in every school district in the state. This is some familiar language that we put forward previously. It was the interest of the Senate to make sure that we're looking into the costs necessary to make these changes. The B subpoint indicates that the Department of Education shall work with the PTSB, nonprofit organizations, and industry to develop a computer science endorsement. So this is something that makes it a little bit easier process. I shouldn't say easier. It's a more facilitated process to ensure that we have sufficient teachers around the state that can provide the expertise necessary to teach these computer science courses and to get that underway. The rest of the modifications within this amendment are conforming. With that, I'd answer any questions on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. If there are none, I'd call for the question.
Are there any questions on the amendment? Any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, the question is on Senator Coe's motion that the Committee of the Whole adopt the Standing Committee Amendment to House Bill 53. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. Back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So House Bill 53, again, takes the strong stand that the Senate has supported on computer science education, making sure that computer science is individually delineated within that Common Core of Knowledge and that computational thinking is included in the Common Core of Skills. I'd answer any questions if there are any. Otherwise, I'd call for the question and hope the body will support the legislation.
Senator Barnard.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to inquire about the cost of a computer science endorsement, how long that takes and how much money it takes out of a teacher's pocket.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The way it's being worked out right now through the PTSB, the endorsement process preliminarily will be relatively easy and straightforward. That's the concept where if you have experience, you can get to that endorsement. If there's something that would allow you to be teaching it, we can get you there. As far as the cost, in the near term, it's again going to be cheap even if you're going to get the additional courses because there are a lot of funds and resources available, particularly through the university right now, to spin this program up and make sure that we're educating teachers. In the long run, it depends on what type of endorsement you want. If you want to be able to teach anything and everything, you'll probably need between 18 and 36 credits. Of that, you get a lot of professional development credits from your district, so some of that's going to be paid for, and it really depends on which courses you want and how you go about doing it. So there are a series of different levels. In the near term, we can get by without taking those 18 to 36 credit hours of courses. In the long run, if you want to get that certification and earn towards it, you'll be doing that. But, Mr. Chairman, I'd remind the body that ongoing education is required for all of our teachers as it is right now. So that's facilitated through professional development. There are a lot of funds available from the district, and it's basically just a prioritization change rather than a new onus upon teachers to fulfill those certifications and endorsements.
Thank you, Senator Rothfuss. Any discussion? Any further discussion on the bill? Any further discussion? Seeing none, the question is on Senator Coe's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 53. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 53 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 93.
House Bill 93 engrossed Speeding Fine Amendments 2, an act relating to regulation of traffic on highways, sponsored by Representative Winters, was referred to Committee Number 8, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Baldwin, and Christensen. No, Senators Anderson and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the House bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Agar?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 93. And once again, for explanation of this fine little bill, I turn the floor over to the senator behind me.
The senator behind him turns out to be Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is an amendment, if we could read in the amendment.
Will the reading clerk read in the amendment?
House Bill 93, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, to engrossed copy, page 4, line 17.
And Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, I would move.
Probably amendment. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1?
Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. I'm looking at a proposed amendment. Mr. Chairman.
Gotcha.
Where's the real?
Thank you.
Thank you. Standing Committee Amendment. I'd move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 93, and I'll explain that.
Thank you, Senator Christensen.
A little later in the conversation.
Yep.
Folks, what this is, House Bill 93, is a issue that was brought to us by the WIDOT, and they had an instance where they were working off 9 different bond schedules. So this bill actually does a couple of different things. One of the main parts of this bill is it combines those 9 bond schedules into 3 bond schedules, and the affected portions are in the interior of the bill. The other thing it does is it sets up a fund for the Wyoming Law Enforcement Training Academy, and a change in the fines with a reduction of $5 in fines across the board as mentioned in this described new bond schedule. And then at the end of the bill, it creates a $5 fee. So we're not taking fines, but it adds a $5 fee that then goes to the Wyoming Training Academy, Law Enforcement Training Academy. And that is to help defray the costs that we are seeing at the academy. Years ago, the local and state agencies that used the Wyoming Law Enforcement Training Academy were able to do so at no additional cost. As we saw reductions in funding, those costs came back to the towns and counties and state agencies. As a result, it's put a bind on their budgets. And so this just provides a mechanism to help reimburse some of those costs by the very people that they're working with, the law-breaking public. How's that sound? The accused, the alleged, once they're convicted. All right, so let's go ahead and take a look at the bill. Over on page 2, you're going to see some new language there at the middle of page 2, and it says the police officer continuing education and training fee will go to the account in the enterprise fund at the end of each month. That is the money from that $5 fee associated with these citations. Down on page 3, the middle of page 3, at about line 14, the police officer continuing education and training fee prescribed by shall be deposited by the state treasurer into that account in the enterprise fund, and then the authority for this under statute. Page 4, a little cleanup language up at the top for which the revenues are generated. And then some at the bottom, what you see, the stricken statutes, that is the combining of bond schedules. Now we get over onto page 5 and we see those bond schedules as they're being combined. I'll tell you folks that one of the concerns of the committee was, did the fines go up? Did they go down? And what we were told from WIDOT was they generally stay the same. Not exactly. There's a little bit of variation on some of them, but generally they stay the same. The reason it's important to have this combined bond schedule with 3 instead of 9 is we had an example over on my side of the state. There's a mountain pass over there that has closures in the wintertime. There were trucks with trailers going across it. People were stopped for the same issue, and using different schedules, the fines were very different based on which fine was being used, and that caused some consternation from the people who were receiving those fines, and also that sense of fair play raised by local law enforcement is how do we interpret these, which schedule are you working off. So that's why you see the combination. It's fairly evident as you read these on page 5, paragraph A, B, and C, it spells out the how it's figured for speeds less than 6 miles an hour over the speed limit, $5 for each mile in excess of the legal speed limit, not to exceed $25. And then it goes up, and I'll not read all these to you. You can certainly read them, and they're fairly clear now with this new language. Over on page 6, it's the same thing. It keeps going up and up and up all the way through page 6, down onto page 7, and through page 7. Again, the result of combining a new language to simplify and make it a little clearer. Over on page 8, at the bottom of page 8, is where we get into one of the different sections, and that has to do with a different statute, 31.5507, with fines not less than $195. And the reason, remember, you remember we went from with a $5 discount. This is where you see it clearly. The fine was originally $200. Now it's $195. Keep in mind that other $5 reduction will show up. That $5 will show up as an increased fee later in the bill. And that's the same throughout page 9. And then on page 10, we have the language that talks about every person convicted of a violation under this will see a education, will see a new fee that goes to the police officer continuing education and training department for $5. So the intent of this was not only to combine those bond schedules that allowed for a lot of variation depending on who picked up what bond schedule, but also the ability to transfer a $5 fee over to Wyoming Law Enforcement Academy, which in turn relieves some of the pressure that local jurisdictions have felt when they've sent officers down to the academy. There is an amendment now. It's been moved. Let's work the amendment in. And it just does a little bit of cleanup. Over on page 4, line 17, it removes, or it adds new language on line 17, down there after C, and the training fee imposed under the subsection of this section. So that's where you start to work in this $5 fee. On line 4, it removes some language just to be a little more clear. It removes plus the assessed training fee up on line 9, and the same thing on page 6, line 13 and 14, and on page 7, lines 19 and 20, you're removing that language. And then over on the last page, on page 10, we have a new addition after on line 5, after $5, except as provided in the paragraph of this section. So cleanup language, that's the amendment. I'd ask for your favorable vote on the amendment first.
Further discussion on the amendment? Questions being called. All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 93, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The amendment has passed. We're back on the bill.
I'd stand for any questions on the bill.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Agar's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation that House Bill 93 pass? Sorry. There we go. Please say aye. Let me just say that again. Are all those in favor of Senator Agar's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 93, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. House Bill 93 has passed Committee of the Whole. Thank you. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say no. Motion is passed.
Will the reader please read in the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Vice President, Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. House Bill 42, in gross, do pass. House Bill 66, do pass, amended. House Bill 69, do pass. House Bill 86, in gross, do pass, amended. House Bill 119, do pass, amended. House Bill 129, do pass, amended. House Bill 144, in gross, do pass. House Bill 172, in gross, do pass. House Bill 26, do pass. House Bill 39, in gross, do pass. House Bill 84, in gross, do pass. House Bill 53, in gross, do pass, amended. House Bill 93, in gross, do pass, amended. Senator Rothfuss, Chairman.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I move for the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've all heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole report has been adopted. Messages from the House?
From the House of Representatives, March 6, 2018, message number 232, third reading passed. Mr. President, the following bills have passed the House on third reading. Senate file number 90, First Judicial District, number of district judges, ayes 59, noes 1. Message number 234, Senate file 11, Public Utility Regulation Joint Powers Entities, ayes 60. Message number 235, Senate File 81, Game and Fish Department Budget Requests, Ayes 58, Noes 2. Message number 236, Senate File 82, Miners Hospital Board Account, Ayes 60. Message number 237, Senate File 27, Excise Tax Audits, Ayes 43, Noes 17. March 6, 2018, Message number 239, Concurrence Requested. Mr. Vice President, Senate File 42, Professional Licensing Applicant Criminal Records, passed the House on third reading in amended form. Ayes 41, noes 19. Message number 233, Concurrence Requested. Mr. President, Senate File 10, Utilities Rate Making, passed the House on third reading in an amended form. Ayes 60. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting amendments. Message number 238. Mr. Vice President, Senate File number 41, Organ Donation Promotion Task Force, passed the House in third reading in an amended form. Ayes 31, noes 29. House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting amendments. Signed, Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
Do we have any standing committee reports? Can the reader please read those?
March 6, 2018, Mr. Vice President, Committee Number 12, to whom is referred House Bill 186 engrossed, SIPA guarantee, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Bebout, Hastert, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. Senator Bebout, Chairman.
Is that it? Okay, the Senate will stand at ease to the sound of the gavel. We don't want to, as our good senator from Northwest said, we don't want to abandon ship yet. So we'll figure out what they're doing first. And so till the gavel sounds, you're at ease. Will the Senate come to order, please? Jackets on. Mr. Majority Floor Leader,
before I make the motion, do we have any business we need to take care of?
I don't believe so, no.
Nothing to read, no messages, no anything?
We did that just before you came back.
What's that?
We did that just before.
All right. I thought I heard that. All right. I think we got a quorum. Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I move the committee We've already risen and report. I move the Senate resolve itself in the committee of the whole for continued consideration of a few more fine little house bills.
You've all heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senator Ruffis.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. If you like that Committee of the Whole, you're going to love this one. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for your consideration is the return of House Bill 162. Will the reading clerk please read the House Bill?
House Bill 162, engrossed, Penitentiary Savings Fund Amendments, an act relating to the Wyoming State Penitentiary, sponsored by Representative Walters. It was referred to Committee Number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Landon. Excused, Senator Hastert. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 162. There are no
standing committee amendments.
Yes, there is.
It's a Committee of the Whole amendment.
Oh, I'm sorry. There are no standing committee amendments. And for further explanation of the bill, I ask that you call on either Senator Driscoll or Senator Landon. I guess it's Senator Landon.
Thank you, Senator Burns. Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. It's good to be back amongst friends, hopefully, and glad to present House Bill 162. Mr. Chairman, I guess if I could ask that the committee, the whole amendment, be read in at this time, and then I'll work it into the bill when the time comes.
House Bill 162, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, to engrossed copy, corrected copy, page 3, line 10.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this is a bill that actually comes out of work that was done throughout the interim by your subcommittee on the Wyoming State Prison. Also, some work by the Appropriations Committee to get arms around all of the issues surrounding our corrections area. This particular bill, it might seem a little bit familiar, fellow senators, and that's because last session, you might remember, we passed a bill that provided for some tips out of our SIPA account, our strategic investment pool funds, and to the tune of half of the remaining money that was remaining to be tipped into the SIPA would be directed to the state penitentiary account. Mr. Chairman, that could amount to as much as $45 million a year. We have bought some time over at the Wyoming State Prison. We did that through a peer review, you might recall, and discovered that we really did not need to invest the kind of money that we anticipated. We have worked on some mitigation over there at the state penitentiary and believe that we have bought ourselves 15 to 20 more years in the facility that we're currently utilizing. So with that in mind, what this bill does, Mr. Chairman, it backs down what we will invest going forward to about $10 million a year. And the idea, I'll take you into the bill, fellow senators, and it gets into it on page 2 and 3, is that we will, through the fiscal year of 2034, we will allow for $10 million to be tipped into the state penitentiary fund. We call it off at that point. We call off what we're allowing the treasurer to do, and what we're allowing, Mr. Chairman, that comes up a little later in the bill, but we are permitting the treasurer to invest these funds in the Pool A account. That's a little more aggressive account, you'll remember, with the idea that it's a long-term investment, and we can generate a little bit better return out of that money. We allow that to continue to tip in there till 2038, but we pull that fund out of the Pool A investments so that it gives enough time for the treasurer to go ahead and sell out of those funds and so that it would be liquid by 2038. Mr. Chairman, that is pretty much the bill. I gave you the overview, and I won't walk through each section. I think that'll probably give you the idea of what we're doing. I would like to now explain the standing the committee of the whole amendment, Mr. Chairman. What that does over the course of the next 2 years, we're still working on this budget, Mr. Chairman. We're doing some different things and guaranteeing some funds out of SIPA at this point. What this does, it goes in on page 3, line 10, and changes the date that we begin to invest the $10 million into the SIPA funds thereafter. We begin that process in 2021. And so, Mr. Chairman, I would call for the question on the amendment unless there are questions.
Thank you. We are on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 162. Are there any questions or discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Landon's motion to adopt Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 162, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 has passed the Committee of the Whole. We are back on House Bill 162. One second, Senator Landon. My apologies, Senator Landon. We are over to Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question for the sponsor. So for clarity, is the plan to roll back how much money we're putting into the prison, to that $10 million mark, and then limiting it over a period of time to about 2035 or 2038, at which point we're going to pursue a different option? Is that my understanding of what the plan is for the prison? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Nethercott. Any additional discussion or questions before the Senator rises again? Seeing none, Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, and I appreciate the question from the good senator from the capital city. That is exactly what the purpose of the bill is. We're rolling that back because as the state law stands right now, we could tip as much as $45 million per year into that state penitentiary account. That's much more aggressive than we need to be at this point because we've bought all that time with mitigation over at the state penitentiary. I will say this, Mr. Chairman, it's very likely that we would have to, or future legislators might have to, tap into this funding, for example, over in Torrington. But for the time being, this gets us on a path, and by investing it in Pool A, Mr. Chairman, that allows for enough growth in those funds. It's going to cost us $250 million if we were to replace the prison today. But with that aggressive investment, we believe that will stay with the cost of living. We'll keep pace, I should say. And by the time we get to 2038, hopefully we will have kept pace with the cost of living, et cetera, and be able to afford a new prison if the legislature at that time decides to build one. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Landon. Any further discussion on House Bill 162, Penitentiary Savings Fund Amendments? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 162, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 162 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is House Bill 156. Will the reading clerk please read the House Bill?
House Bill 156, State Songs, an Act Relating to the State Songs, sponsored by Representative Swanitzer. It was referred to Committee Number 3, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Kinski, Peterson, and Wasserberger. No, Senator Ellis. Excused, Senator Case. Senator Peterson, Chair.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 156, State Songs. And for further explanation on this good bill, I would refer to Senator Moniz.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Senator Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring you House Bill 156, State Songs. If you look on page 1, line 10, the March song entitled Wyoming, words by Charles E. Winter, and music by George E. Knapp. And
I've heard a request from the body to hum a few bars and or explain how it goes.
I was saving that till later.
All right. And then, sorry to interrupt, Senator Moniz. Please carry on with your explanation of this good little bill.
I'm not sure you want me to hum a few bars.
We do.
At any rate. And the song entitled Wyoming Where I Belong, Words and Music by Annie Smith and Amy Smith, are the official state songs of Wyoming. So you might ask, why Wyoming Where I Belong?
Why?
Charles E. Winter and George E. Knapp wrote Wyoming, the current song, in 1906. Wyoming Where I Belong honors and compliments the existing state song. And, Senators, if you'll recall last year, Amy and Annie came here and sang for us, Wyoming. And they got a standing ovation. Everybody thought it was well performed. And so, Mr. Chairman, since I can't hum a bar, but a good senator from Cali does a very good job of humming, so I would refer humming back to the senator, but in the meantime, I'd ask for your favorable consideration of this fine bill.
Thank you, Senator Moniz. Would any senator like to perform the song at this time? There's chanting for Senator Peterson. Senator Peterson, rising to the mic.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wish I could sing it, but I don't know the song that well. I'd probably destroy it and kill the bill. So,
more bell.
Yeah.
All right.
So with that, Mr. Chairman, of course, we're going to have a group come in, I think, Thursday and perform an elementary school group, and so that should be enjoyable. But we all were witness to that performance last year, and it's a great song. You know, as I start thinking about this, we already have one state song already, and so you're probably thinking, why do we need another one? But it's a generational thing. And you talk to some kids across the hill here at our college, and they'll probably tell you the state song is the Cowboy Joe. And others would say, well, it's the beer song. No, it's not the beer song.
those were the two that I thought were the songs.
Most people don't know that there is that old song, Wyoming, and it's a great song. I've heard it a number of times, but this song is a little newer, and I don't know that one that well either, but it's a nice song. It's a little older for the older generation, but there's no harm in having a couple of different state songs, and so I'd ask you to vote in favor of the bill.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. I see Senator Hicks eagerly awaiting the mic. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, I'll do the song for you if you'll turn the mic on for me.
That mic is on.
Where is your mic?
Senator Hicks, it's only in order for you to sing it. That's props, Senator Hicks. You need to sing it yourself. Out of order, and Hicks is off. Would any other senator like to weigh in on House Bill 156 state songs? Seeing none, questions been called for. All those in favor of Senator Peterson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 156, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
House Bill 156 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is House Bill 170. Would the reading clerk please read the House Bill?
House Bill 170, engrossed, Wyoming Children's Trust Fund Amendment, sponsored by Representative Klim, an act relating to the Children's Trust Fund, was referred to Committee Number 3, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Ellis, Kinski, Peterson, and Wasserberger. Excused, Senator Case. Senator Peterson, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of a do pass on House Bill 170, engrossed, Wyoming's Children's Trust Fund Amendments, and for further explanation on this good little bill, I'd refer to Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, I bring you House Bill 170, which I barely got. House Bill 170, Wyoming Children's Trust Fund Amendments. The Wyoming Children's Trust Fund was established in 1982 by Statute 14-8-101 and is funded under 35-1-401. It's a $5 surcharge on vital records request to serve as a match for federal funding with the mission of preventing child abuse and neglect in Wyoming. Under 351408, the surcharge was to terminate upon the fund reaching $5 million. It took about 35 years for the fund to reach $5 million, and a surcharge was removed in August of 2016. The bill removes the $5 million cap, allowing the surcharge to continue. The data sheet goes, I have a data sheet here that goes into a lot more detail about that. The second thing that does is add a board member to the Children's Trust Fund board, a designee from the Department of Health. So, Mr. Chairman, that's it, and that's all the bill does. If you want a lot more information about the Children's Trust Fund, I'll let you know that. Otherwise, I ask for your favorable consideration on the bill.
Thank you, Senator Hastert. Any discussion on House Bill 170, Wyoming Children's Trust Fund Amendments? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Peterson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 170, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 170 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, one moment. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, before I make the motion, may I have privilege of the floor for just a
moment? You may.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, staff members. I want to apologize for being gone a little bit earlier. As you know, you probably noticed by who wasn't on the floor, you probably have an idea what we were doing. We're trying to push the budget and some of the remaining issues to a successful conclusion, and so I apologize for being off the floor, but I do want to just take a moment and as this winds down, and express my appreciation for your patience and your hard work and the way that you've conducted yourselves. We appreciate the humor and also appreciate the great debate. There, particularly the last couple of days, we've had some issues that there's been a lot of passion, but the arguments in the debate were generally to the point and heartfelt and also helpful, I think, in resolving some of those issues. And so whether you prevailed in that particular vote or didn't prevail in that particular vote we were advocating, I want you to know that I appreciate how you conducted yourselves, and I appreciated the debate. And like I say, in my mind, the debate was very helpful on both sides. I appreciate that. Also, Mr. The chairman, just let the body know I've got about five bills on general file that I intend to hear tomorrow. And you probably know which ones those are, and we'll see how that goes. But anyway, so I think that tomorrow should not be a long day. We've done a lot of work very quickly, and I want you to know I recognize that and appreciate that. And I also want to express appreciation to our staff and their help and how they help us make us look good, because quite frankly I have no idea what I'm doing, and you always knew that, didn't you, Hank? But they make us look really good, and I want you to know how much we appreciate their professionalism and their assistance and their dedication. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report once again.
You have heard the motion once again. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Mr. Vice President, motion has passed.
Would the reader read the Committee of the Whole report?
Mr. Vice President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. House Bill 162, in gross, do pass, amended. House Bill 156, do pass. House Bill 170, in gross, do pass. Senator Roffus, Chairman.
Senator Roffus.
Mr. Vice President, I move for the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've all heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Committee of the Whole report has been adopted by the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yes, Mr. Vice President?
My desk is clear.
Your desk is clear. With that then, Mr. Vice President, I move that the Senate stand adjourned until
9 a.m. 9 a.m. There's no committee work tomorrow. Oh, there is committee work tomorrow?
Yes. Well,
okay, make that 10 a.m.
Thank you.
The usual time. 10 a.m. on Wednesday, March 7th.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. We also have a meeting with the other body, so thank you for that. Senator Scott, announcements?
Mr. Vice President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet with our counterparts from the House at 8:30 a.m., Jonah Room, L-54, to discuss interim topics.
Any other announcements? Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Joint Judiciary will meet tomorrow, 9 a.m., Jonah S-18, to talk about joint interim topics.
Thank you. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Vice President.
Sorry, go for it.
Mr. Vice President, your committee number 5 will be meeting in 20 minutes in Jonah Room L-51, but prior to that, I would like to have the committee meet in the my office back in the catacombs in about 10 minutes to take up House Bill 130 in gross, State Fair Endowment, House Bill 168 in gross, Stand Your Ground 2, and the discussion on interim topics.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will be meeting with our counterparts down the way for a joint revenue meeting tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in Jonah Room H36 to talk about interim topics.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Your committee number 9, Joint Minerals, will meet on Wednesday, March 7th, 2018 at 8 a.m. in Jonah Room H37, right next door to the good Senator Peterson, to discuss interim topics.
Thank you for that announcement. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, your committee number 8 joint will meet as a joint transportation committee upon adjournment of both bodies in Jonah Room L-54. Best guess somewhere around 7 or something like that tonight. Who knows? If it gets too late, we may try something else. But we'll try to meet, Mr. Vice President.
Well, stay awake, Senator Meyer.
Yeah.
Any other announcements? You've all heard the motion. All in favor, say aye. Senator Nethercott?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. It appears that Management Audit Committee will also be meeting tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. at a location to be determined.
Management Audit Committee. Okay. Any other announcements? Senator Kins? No. All in favor? You've heard the motion. All Senator Scott?
Mr. Vice President, I think the management audit is scheduled for Thursday at 8 a.m.
We have a little discussion there. Senator Nethercott?
Question.
Mr. Chairman.
It's Thursday, then. Thursday at 8, is that correct? Okay, thank you. Any other announcements? Any other conflicts? Seeing none, you've heard the motion. All in favor, please say aye. All opposed? The Senate is adjourned till 10 a.m. March 7th.